From Sapporo, Japan, this is the Davito.org newsletter for December 7th, 2007. Thank you very much for listening, as always. Well, everybody, quite honestly, last week I burnt myself out. I did an 8-hour marathon editing after my program crashed, and I lost 3 hours worth of editing. I decided to punt this week, do something a lot shorter. Have a listen. I have two items for you today. I'm going to be talking about the Ministry of Justice's Jinken Shūkan. It's Human Rights Week and its fundamental flaws. And I'll also be talking about racial profiling at Toyoko Inn in Hirosaki, Aomori Prefecture. And I'm actually going to be calling for a boycott of the place because it's actually symptomatic of what they've been doing for years now, not only to non-Japanese, but also even to the handicapped. And that'll be it. First item of business. You might not know it or even have heard of it, but every year from December 4th to December 10th is Jinken Shūkan, or Human Rights Week in Japan. And I've had a look around, watching TV, seen them in a few public places. They have two cutish big boy and girl mascot dolls named Ken, for Kendi, or one's rights, drawing attention to issues of discrimination in Japan. Other than that, you might not know that you're actually in Japan's biggest human rights week of the year. Yeah, in December, nice and cold, right? It's sponsored by the notorious Ministry of Justice's Bureau of Human Rights, the Jinken Yogobu, or BOHR as I'll abbreviate it, and they're notorious for doing nothing much otherwise than these sorts of things. The website with this year's 59th proceedings, thanks Stephanie for letting me know about this, lists up to 16 issues of note. These are all my translations from the Jinken website. Number 1, teaching people one by one about the importance of human rights. 2, human rights for women. 3, for children. 4, for the elderly. 5, for the disabled. 6, for the Burakumin. 7, for the Ainu. 8, for foreigners. 9, for people with AIDS or Hansen's disease, as in leprosy. 10, for formerly incarcerated criminals who have paid their debt to society. 11, for victims of crime and their families. 12, for the victims of human rights abuses on the internet. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. 13, for people discriminated against for their sexual orientation. 14, the homeless. 15, for those with something called gender identity disorder. There is apparently a medical condition. And for 16, for those who have suffered human rights abuses from the North Koreans. Well, as far as Davito.org goes, here's what they say about their goals towards discrimination against foreigners, or Gai Kokuchin, on a page with a longer write-up. Again, this is my translation. Quote, "Let's respect the human rights of foreigners. Reflecting the era of Japan's internationalization in recent years, every year the number of foreigners staying, zaidyu in Japanese, in our country, as in Wagakuni, has been increasing. According to the Constitution, and by the nature of the rights of man, and leaving out the interpretation that the Constitution only applies to Japanese citizens, foreigners staying in our country are also guaranteed fundamental human rights. However, in practice, our country has had issues originating in the history towards the Zionist North and South Koreans." Yeah, do you note the Chinese and the Taiwanese are not included? "There are also various incidents of human rights problems with foreigners facing discrimination in the workplace, as well as in being refused apartments, entry into eating and drinking establishments, and public baths." Thanks. "This is due to differences in language, religion, and lifestyle customs." Yeah, but not also race, right? "Our country affected the United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination in January 1996, which demands that we take further action towards the elimination of racial discrimination and discrimination by nationality. As Japan's internationalization is anticipated to further proceed from now on, it is desirable that we respect the customs of foreigners, and as a member of the international society, we accept diversity. The Ministry of Justice, Bureau of Human Rights, as an organization, will develop enlightenment activities that will cultivate an awareness of human rights suitable for Japan's international era, where all citizens, or kokumin, here or abroad, will deepen their understanding and awareness of all human rights and problems." Comment. I'm not going to completely douse the fireworks here with acerbic comments, as it's better that the government of Japan is doing this than not doing this. As long as they don't claim to international bodies that this is enough, which they actually have a history of doing, see my website, davito.org/japanvsun.html, in other words, Japan versus UN, no spaces. But let's do a quick roundup of the flaws in all the quote-unquote human rights awareness so ably called for by the Bureau of Human Rights. A. Note how the Bureau of Human Rights still couches discrimination in terms of nationality, not as in race or national origin. For what about the Japanese children with international roots who face discrimination because they don't, quote-unquote, look Japanese? This blind spot ignores one more facet of Japan's true internationalization, where racial discrimination affects Japanese citizens too. B. Note how the issue is still couched in terms of us and them, our citizens, and those foreigners with their differences, which is not necessarily true, is it? And this sort of thing is used more often as an excuse and a justification than an explanation. It's not even clear that foreigners are even residents of Japan. After all, they're only, quote-unquote, staying here, or zaidyu in Japanese, as opposed to residing, which is zaiju. See, there's still no call from the Bureau of Human Rights for an actual law outlawing racial discrimination, only for the respect, you know, soncho, for people, which, with 300 yen, might get you a cup of coffee, if the restaurant even lets you in. D. And as I said above, the Bureau of Human Rights is famous for calling for action, yet not affecting much or any action of its own. After all, as they will tell you at the very beginning of any interview you have with them over a human rights issue, they have no real power to stop a discriminator from discriminating. And this they won't tell you, they have no legal obligation to call you back or tell you any results of any investigation, if any, they undertake. This, they say, is for, quote-unquote, privacy concerns. See what I mean at david.org/policeapology.html. I'm glad to see that discrimination against foreigners is now up to 8th in the ranking. Now, if we could get it rendered as racial discrimination, it would more reflect reality, and, of course, treaty obligation. And if you'd like to see more Keystone copiness regarding Government of Japan human rights awareness, see the Japan Times, Tuesday, October 23rd, 2007, my column there entitled Human Rights Survey Stinks, Government Effort Riddled with Bias and Bad Science. You can see it up at my site, david.org/publications.html. Next item of business, racial profiling at Toyoku in Hirosaki, Aomori Prefecture. This report will tell you what I did about it, and I recommend a boycott until they learn how to follow the law. Summary, Toyoku in, a high-profile nationwide chain of hotels in Japan, that's www.toyoku-inn.com, have a clear policy of racial profiling at their hotels. They illegally demanded a passport from the author on the basis of his race alone on November 30th, 2007, reflecting their history of even illegally threatening to refuse accommodation to non-Japanese residents unless they provide gaijin cards at check-in. This systematic harassment of non-Japanese clientele is unnecessary and unlawful, especially in the face of hotels increasingly refusing all foreigners accommodation across Yokoso, Japan. Toyoku Inn's continuing refusal to abide by the laws, despite advisement from non-Japanese customers in the past, forces this author to conclude that non-Japanese residents and international Japanese citizens, not to mention supporters of human rights in Japan, should take their business to hotels other than Toyoku Inn until the chain at the national level agrees in writing to improve their services. Background. I went down to Hirosaki, Aomori Prefecture, last weekend for a December 1st speech at Hirosaki Gakuin University on racial discrimination in Japan. After a six-hour train ride from Sapporo, I was met by my hosts, including Professor Todd J. Leonard, at 11 p.m. at Hirosaki Station, who accompanied me to the neighboring Toyoku Inn, this is in Aomori Ken, phone number 0172-312045, where they had made my reservation. At the counter, a clerk, a Ms. Ishioka, gave me a check-in slip after filling out my name in kanji, and just before I was to write out my Japanese address in Japanese, the clerk said, "May I see your passport?" Todd and his friends looked at each other and sighed and said to themselves, "Oh boy, here we go." The conversation between the clerk and me proceeded something like this. I said, "Why do you need my passport?" "It's required by hotel policy and by Japanese law." "Let me see the laws." And she produced a countertop stand with the text of the hotel request for passports in English, Korean, and Chinese. "Japanese law requires that all foreigners at check-in," says I. "Is there a Japanese version?" And she pointed to the Japanese she had been reading on the back of the stand. Right, so as you can see here, it requires passports from people without addresses in Japan. I have an address in Japan, but you asked me before I even had a chance to write it. Well, we have a policy of asking all foreigners for identification at check-in. That's illegal. You can only ask tourists for ID. Or can't you read the law in Japanese here? And also, how do you even know I'm a foreigner? Because you wrote your name in katakana, I wrote my name in kanji. Look, can't you see here? And she took a look and uttered a demur. I am a Japanese citizen. I do not have to show you a passport or any other form of ID. Yeah, but do you have a driver's license to prove that? Do you require driver licenses from other Japanese at check-in? Well, it's just that we have a policy for asking for identification from foreigners. Look, clearly I'm not getting through to you. Call your manager. Our manager is not here at the moment. Then get him or her on the phone. You are racially profiling me. This is racial discrimination and a violation of Japanese laws. Give me your full name, please, and the name of your manager. Please wait a minute, she said, running behind a partition. My friends and I then sat down in a connected anteroom for a glass of water and an animated discussion of the proceedings for about 5 minutes before the clerk shouted down the hall that she had an answer for me. Our manager is too busy to come to the phone right now. Well, okay then. I'm not too busy to contact your headquarters to tell them that your manager refused to discuss a serious issue of customer relations with a customer. Your full name and your manager's full name again, please? Please wait a minute, she said, running behind the partition again. A few minutes later, I was on the phone with a Ms. Obata, the assistant manager of the hotel. She opened on the phone with the standard apologies, and I said, well, hear me out before apologizing, please. The issues were, 1, deciding whether or not a customer was a foreigner or not, solely based on face, therefore race. 2, enforcing a law, which applied only to tourists, upon all people deemed foreign. And 3, enforcing a non-existent law requiring proof of Japanese-ness, even after said customer says that he's Japanese. This was customer harassment on the basis of racial profiling and done to an egregious and unprecedented degree in all my experiences at any hotel in Japan. And given that Tohoku Inns in Sapporo have illegally required passports or gaijin cards for reservations from non-Japanese residents of Japan, which just happens to be a violation of the hotel management law, Ryokan Gyoho, Article 5, which does not permit refusals of customers on this basis. This chain's systematic policy of targeting foreigners or foreign-looking people as suspicious is unnecessary and illegal. Not to mention the fact, of course, that the clerk personally tried to shirk her duty of connecting a customer to the manager. This was irresponsibility that should not be allowed to pass without complaint. Ms. Obata indicated that she understood the issue and apologized for the poor training of her employee. She said she'd like to see me face to face the next day for a personal apology. I said I would be out all day the next day, arriving back late from a house party at Todd's after my speech. But I'd leave my meishi with my keitai number at the counter, should she wish to arrange a time for meeting. She said no matter, she would wait until I got in. Then I went back to the anteroom for another hour of water, enjoying with Todd and company over what had just happened, said they. This has never happened to any of us at a hotel in Japan. Why does this keep happening to you? Well, never mind, we got to see the Debito in action. Fast forward, December 2, 2007, midnight, arrival at Tohoku Inn after the house party. Todd gave a lovely house party, so lovely that I tragically got a migraine at the very end. With my head throbbing, I returned to the Tohoku Inn, got my room key, and found the manager there, waiting for me, even though it was past midnight. You needn't have waited up so long, I said. You said you'd be late, and I wanted to meet you and apologize properly, said she. And for the next hour, while I blinked my way through the mercury haze of migraine flashes, Ms. Obata and I had a very good chat about what happened and why it shouldn't happen again. And I said, look, I understand the laws, but until you have confirmed that a customer, any customer, regardless of nationality, has no address in Japan, you legally cannot demand identification from them. Just confirm that, ask for ID from those who don't, and we've got no issue here. But I don't appreciate this interrogation and demand for proof that I am even a Japanese from an obstinate clerk late at night at check-in like this. It's poor service. Ms. Obata was understanding and tried to make an excuse that Aomori isn't used to foreigners, but I pointed out that Aomori, with its Nebuta Matsuri, and Hirosaki in particular, with its castle and Sakura Matsuri, is a magnet for international clientele. She conceded the point, and the conversation turned to why I was here speaking at Hirosaki Gakuin University. And she even bought one of my books. Thank you very much. In the end, the conversation went on too long for her to be ingenuine in her apologies. You know, I found that people who just want to apologize pro forma and be done with things exhaust a conversation after about 5 or 10 minutes or so. I was satisfied that the hotel branch would do better in future. But I still suggest you take your business elsewhere. I'm not so optimistic about the Toyoko chain in general. More than 2 years ago, as James Erickson and Olaf Karthaus reported to the community mailing list, Toyoko in Sapporo by Hokudai refused James's reservation if he did not present his Gaijin card at check-in. And you can see that at debito.org/Olaf on gaijincarding.html, no spaces. Even today, after demands for improved services are now years old, the Toyoko In chain is still not treating non-Japanese customers with the appropriate respect. Until we get a written guarantee from the chain that they are aware of the laws and will improve customer treatment, and I will still be writing headquarters about this incident, I suggest that non-Japanese customers and their friends and supporters take their business elsewhere. This is actually part of a surge in activity in Japan these days regarding Japanese hotels, their refusal to accept even any foreign clientele whatsoever. They blame it on language barriers. The fact that, you know, the hotel staff can't speak English, so, you know, Japanese lodgers only. Sorry, folks, this is illegal. I finally have enough time and information to make a full report on this, so I'll get to it within December. I got a response to this on my blog, where somebody said, "I'm surprised at this stupidity, given that non-Japanese are a reasonable proportion of Toyoko's customer base. Why such idiocy, given the economic cost of carrying on in such a manner?" And I replied, "Well, probably because they don't think that the Gaijin are going to do anything about it. Remember how the Toyoko Inn was towards the handicap just last year? They removed barrier-free measures after a Government of Japan certification, because to the boss, Nishida Norimasa, Katawa, weren't powerful enough customers, and he said so in public." And you can see the Japan Times, Saturday, January 28th, 2006, entitled, "Hotelier Beats Checks, Drops Disabled Access. Toyoko Inn Removes Required Parking." Toyoko Inn Corporation admitted Friday that some of its business hotels in Yokohama and other areas removed mandatory parking facilities for the disabled, after authorities certified them as barrier-free. Toyoko President Norimasa Nishida told a hastily arranged news conference following an Asahi Shimbun report on the matter Friday morning that he knew the move would be deemed illegal. He also confessed that similar modifications were made for other hotels. And after a few days of the manager going, "Well, look, you know, we can run our hotel as we like, so what if the handicapped don't come?" he was giving a weeping press conference. This is from the Japan Times, Tuesday, February 7th, 2006. Nishida says, "We will restore the illegally modified hotels to their original state as soon as possible." His head bowed as he wept at a news conference in Tokyo. "It was me who gave the go-ahead for the modifications, and I take all the blame." But the chain did not clarify how it would retrofit its hotels. In any case, this hotel has a pretty nasty reputation. Don't go there. There's plenty of other hotels to go to until we get in writing that they're going to actually improve their services for non-Japanese customers. And believe it or not, that's all we'll do today. I'm tired. I need a week off. Well, I can't have a week off. No rest for the wicked, right? So let me leave you with a song, and I'll see if I can do something again next week. And of course, it's Duran Duran. This is from 1988. It's from their album called Big Thing, and it's a song called "I Don't Want Your Love." Chance. right, and thank you very much to Trans-Pacific Radio, as always, for hosting my show. And I'll talk to you guys later on next week. Thanks very much. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.